When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the After Hours Sessions podcast. This is D-Rock. And I'm joined by an amazing guest, someone who's making her return to the show for the first time in 2 years. And we're so excited. And she's also coming up in November 12th to the 16th, going to be making her first trip back to the U.S. And since pre-COVID days, which seems like eons ago, way too long. She's someone who I've been a fan of and respect what she does. You know, on camera, off camera, just a great person. So I'm glad to have the return of Miss Kill Pussy. How are you?
Hi, everybody. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me come back on the show.
Oh, of course. I told you 2 years ago, anytime you want to come on, you are more than welcome to, because it was so fun talking to you. And I'm serious. Like, there's some people who, and I'll keep it honest on the show, if you're a session wrestler or Dom or a performer who I don't know as well, but I'm seeing, I'll say that. Like, you seem like you're rising, but someone I've been a fan of for a while, I also say that too. And I've been a fan of yours for a long time. So it's always great to talk to someone who, like, I can genuinely say I'm a big fan of.
Oh, thank you so much, darling. I really appreciate that. And likewise, you know, since the last time I came on the show, I've been listening to your podcasts and, totally keeping it real. And great to have a forum for, you know, ladies like myself so that we can, talk in a more natural kind of way and just sort of let people know, you know, who you are and what you're about.
No, I appreciate that. That's really kind, and that's always good to hear. I'm glad that you and other ladies feel safe and comfortable coming on the show and keeping it real. So that means a lot.
Yeah, great.
So I got to jump into it because it's coming up. Like, what sparked this return visit for the first time in, 3 years to come into the Big Apple, to New York? And
Well, obviously, only recently been able to travel, so that's a good start. And then I think, like the rest of the world, we're kind of still recovering from COVID poverty. That's what I'm calling it.
Yes.
Just struggling to get back on my feet, and hooray, got it. And
all right.
Spreading my wings and, God, getting out of this tiny, cold, bloody island for a bit.
Yes. So you have it seems like, and I know schedules, things can change, but it seems like you have it's pretty booked with filming with Vivi Lane and Doom Maidens. Domcat.
Yeah, and Domcat. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, not just having fun with some amazing woman, but also, you know, like the skill level. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity, you know, to work with, you know, very well-trained, renowned, likewise, you know, like-minded woman, you know, which is, you know, such a rare opportunity and a long time coming, you know what I mean?
Yes. And you'll be doing what you do best and also kicking ass and offering sessions as well.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah. Well, kicking ass is what I do best, basically. So, you know. I'm really looking forward to basically coming over and beating you guys up a bit.
Yeah, we've been waiting. We've wanted, like, that's what's awesome about it. Like, there's so many people, like, within, like, you know, keep it to the U.S. who, like, they're all over and you're like, oh, I can't wait till they come. But this is global. This is international. So there's so many great, you know, DOMs and session wrestlers like yourself who it's like, man, they, if I can go over there or if they're coming over here, like, you know, you make it happen.
Well, we're only just sort of starting to regain, you know, the ability to travel because of the virus. So, you know, things are opening up now. So it gives, you know, and really all of us ladies have been scratching, not being able to go anywhere, you know.
Right.
So as soon as the doors are open, you know, everyone wants to get amongst it again, you know.
So let me ask you, I guess not, it could go to both. And we'll get back to definitely what you're going to be doing in New York. But since you brought it up, I want to ask, you know, like I said, we've, you know, messaged and stuff, but it's been 2 years since we talked. So how have you been doing with all this, you know, living in this COVID world as Miss Kill Pussy? But then just you personally, how have you been adjusting to all this just, you know, craziness and all these changes?
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure it's the same as everyone, badly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, as a collective, you know, we've all been put under so much stress. I'm hoping that it's, you know, it's like at the beginning of this year, everyone kind of was thinking, oh, you know, COVID's finished. Yay, we're through it. And then this year's been bloody awful. You know, so I just think it's, you know, it's taking us longer to recover from the pandemic than we thought. But slowly, but, you know, slowly but surely, baby steps.
Right.
You know, but it is really a sort of, it feels like a survival of the fittest situation, you know. Only the strong survive situation, I guess.
Yeah, no, sadly, and we were talking a little before we went on and recorded, but yeah, you're seeing that more and more instead of what it should be, which is we all help each other out, you know, like in our community, but just, you know, globally as humans, we should be helping each other. But a lot of times, at least what you're seeing is a survival of the fittest. And we were talking that if you look past the noise that you're getting online or however get your news, you'll see there are examples. And I think this podcast, it's a small, but examples of people helping each other in this community. And, like, you know, want to let people know, like, that is still out there. I know it may seem bleak wherever you are, but there is still that chance of connection and of community out there for people.
Well, I think it's a bit more than that, you know, because I've been thinking about this a lot myself. And I kind of feel like being nice in itself is an act of defiance, you know?
Oh, okay.
You know, because being nice is so uncool, you know?
Yes, yeah.
You know, and I think that genuinely in most people's hearts, they are nice. People do want to be nice. It's just sort of, you know, beaten out of us through, you know, one way or another. So it's like the fear of being nice, you know?
Well, yeah, that's interesting because about a month ago, Michaela Miles came on and she said something that it's been in my mind ever since is, you know, we either move out of love or out of fear. And
that's so true.
And what you just said is true, where there's a lot of times, I think I said it to you before on air, like you want to move out, be nice, move out of love, but then you're afraid you're going to be looked at, oh, he's a, you know, I'll keep it just to me, like D-Rock's a chump or D-Rock's a sucker or D-Rock's naive. And then, like, so that fear that will make you go the other way because it's like, well, I don't want to be that way when it takes, you're right, it takes courage to just, hey,
yeah,
you know
it
what?
It takes courage to, you know, love. You know? And anything involving courage also involves a bit of fear, I guess.
Absolutely. No, there is no courage without fear.
Yeah.
No courage without fear. So how has it been, I guess, creatively for you? Have you found it to be a struggle to create, you know, when you Miss Kill Pussy, or has it been kind of, because some people have said these past couple years, they've lost, like, creativity's been hard. Some have said that it's been kind of helpful. like for them to create?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a double-edged sword. Personally, I had to work through the whole pandemic, and I had to work extremely hard. So I spent most of it exhausted and terrified, as opposed to everyone else who was terrified and bored.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well, you know, at that point of time, you know, my focus was on surviving and getting through. So there was no room to be creative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it did kind of dumb it down. But, you know, things are starting to lighten up. And slowly but surely, you know, that enjoyment and excitement, but also just the ability to be able to organize it, you know, and do shoots and things like that, because, you know, for a long time you didn't want to shoot with anyone. You know what I mean? Because of,
oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so, and, you know, just what I was saying before in terms of it being a double-edged sword, you know, like on the other side of the coin, yeah, you are right, because having that period of time where you're kind of not concentrating on it, it's also sort of, you know, brought up some sparks of inspiration, you know, which are, you know, slowly coming back as you're getting more ability to do more filming, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like pushing a car down a hill, you know. You just got to push it until it starts rolling by itself.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. I totally get you on that. It's weird because it's something you know, I can relate on a lot of levels to it, because, you know, even, all right, so as me, as like someone who is a fan of sessions, my last one was January of 2020, and then the lockdown happened, and then I remember my first one being really like April of the next year, and it was just very like, oh, I've done this for years, but it was so weird. It was like, oh, like, how do I... like, what do I, and not just with the COVID restrictions, but it was just like, I'm used to doing this, but then I'm not used to doing it. And then I'm like, well, I remember, like, I did a session, like, one of the first ones I did when I came back, like, we were just, like, standing, and it was like, there's a mat there, and it was like, I was like, all right, like, you go first, me. It was like a weird, like, it's like we're in traffic, and I'm like, do I do this? Am I doing it right? Like, you know, like, do I... you want me just to lay down? Like, and she was like, huh? And I'm like, it's been a long time. I'm sorry. it's been a while. Like, it's just been weird.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. You know, yeah, you know, when I started getting back to doing sessions, I had a few moments of like, oh, hang on a minute. How does this go?
Yeah. Like,
grab them.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, like, it's like once you got going, it was like, yeah, this is it. And it was, you know, great times, but it was just like, I don't know. Like, it just felt weird. But, like, I hadn't had that, you know, from the previous 10 years. You know, I would always be excited, but then it was like, I knew what to do when I was there, you know. But it was just like, oh, it just felt a little off.
Well, also, I'm not being funny, but, like, you know, I'm single, so... you know, that was also the only kind of sort of physical contact I'd had with anyone for like about 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
So it was also kind of like, ooh, what's this?
Oh, same.
You know, warm.
Right. It was like, this is what it feels. I forgot.
What's it called? Oh, physical touch. Oh.
Yes. It was very.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm you know, a thicker guy, and I sweat. And when I sweat, it's like, you know, Niagara Falls coming. So when I started doing, you know, those first ones, it was like, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sweating so much. And they were like, it's okay. But I was like, oh, I'm getting, I have four towels in my bag, so don't worry. I'll just wipe off. But they're like, don't worry. But I was like, oh, man, like, I'm getting sweat on you. Like, it just... But and someone had to say, like, no, I like that. Like, it's good. Like, it's, I'm like, oh, okay, but.
Oh, honey, did you rain on their parade?
I literally did. And some of them, I was, you know, also because, you know, there a lot, some people were able to maintain better, but, like, you know, also not even being as, like, I did a little bit to maintain, but being as physical as you were before and working out as much. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't. So then it's like, oh, like, I'm like, is this a product of not working out as much the past year, year and a half? Like, I'm sweating. Like, I mean, I know I sweat, but I'm doing a lot right now. It was just different.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think there is that as well, you know, like, I think, you know, just because of the lockdown, you know, everyone kind of did do a little less exercise, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I, you know, coming back to your trip to New York.
Yeah.
Now you're filming with, at least as far as I could see on like your Twitter, Vivi and Doom Maidens, the Domcat. How has that been? I know you've, you know, you're a legend in the game, but like, how getting back to like collaborating with other people, whether it's the male talent or other session wrestlers.
You know, whenever I'm in New York, I always try and film with Vivi, you know, because she's a fucking legend.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I like the way she does things. It's really easy and really fun. You know, and I always learn something. You know, it's weird though, because like I'm filming with the Doom Maidens, but there's actually quite I think there's six of us. You know, so mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, working with women that I haven't met or seen before, which is exciting and intimidating at the same time. Which is it's kind of nice because that's what it should be.
Right.
And it just, you know, it really reminds me that, you know, you're saying, you know, a legend in my own right. But, you know, I'm looking at the lineup on Twitter and going to their profiles and, you know, kind of going, oh, shit, I hope she doesn't kill me. so there's a big group of us filming for the Doom Maidens. So obviously if you want to get a custom clip, you can message Vivi. And then I'm also doing a day with the Domcat because she's kick-ass. I love her.
Yes.
I love everything about her. And the thing is that, you know, both of those wonderful ladies, wonderful, talented ladies, you know, I've met and filmed with before. And, you know, like, it's not just about the money, you know, because I just want to hang out with those girls because, you know, I enjoy them professionally, but, you know, I just enjoy them. So that's all good, you know, all fun and games.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Vivi's been on here before and it's awesome. Like you said, a legend. And Katarina has been on here and, you know, she's like, you know, a friend. We and her talk and she's just... She's a legend, but it's like in a different way, in my opinion, because she's just so creative and artistic, and it's like really fun, like her ideas and like the artistic brain she has. Like I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to see what she does on like so many levels. So like,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. It's fun to be around. And that's the thing. It's like it's a lot of times it is about like you just want to work with people that. You know, they just bring a smile to your face and you just know you're going to have a good time being with them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, as long as you walk away with a smile on your face, I reckon, you know, everything is secondary. But also if you're enjoying working with someone, it does show, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really does. Yeah. And you can see the enjoyment, you know.
No. And I started asking more people because, like wondering and trying not just for the show, but personally to learn more about filming and creating content in that way. I know, you know, you ladies are professional and even if you work with someone else who, you know, whether it's a male talent or whoever is professional. And so, you know, how to be professional and get the job done, but does it, you know, you does it show like, does it show like when you're having an enjoy, like you and that other talent have chemistry, whether it's physical chemistry or you just get along well personally, like does it show? Because a lot of times,
you know,
I'm sure
it doesn't show to most people, but when you watch it yourself, you're like, oh yeah, I can see me vibing there.
Right. Well, that's what it's funny because I could, if I looked at like your clip store and was like, oh, these are like my favorite Miss Kill Pussy clips, they might be ones where you're like, oh, I wasn't really feeling it that day, or it was they're okay. And then you're like, but the best ones are these. That's which is what makes it fun and like cool. But I kind of wonder, like, do you think it shows really?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the fickle business about it, you know. Like, I've done a couple of clips where basically I wasn't very well, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wasn't well at all. And there's this one clip of mine, and basically I was struggling not to throw up the entire clip.
Oh, wow.
Was like appalled and, you know, embarrassed. And it was like a major hit, you know. And when I watched the clip, it's like, even I can't tell. I just look really fucking pissed off. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, obviously people can tell when you're enjoying it, you know, because it's just there's an underline of genuine. But also, you know, sometimes people see something you don't, you know what I mean? Like, you're mm-hmm. not in control of how the audience watch, you know, sees something, you know?
No. And it's funny you say that, because it is just, it is what makes it interesting. Like, you know, some people can get it, but usually you never know what will break through and what won't.
Yeah. At
times, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny, I guess it's, you know, it's quite fun when you go to do something and, you know, you're kind of you're approaching it in a methodical, professional sense, but then it just, some sort of spark happens and you blink and the time's over, and it's
right.
just, you know, you've just like rolled with it, you know, and it's fun when you know that you're going to roll with it, but it's even more fun when you think you're not. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like a little surprise treat.
No. So, as, because you kind of said something where you were like, you just looked really pissed off and it worked for you in the video. So,
yeah.
I can look at two sides. So, like, getting to know session wrestlers better, and even like we've talked and I've had you on the show before. So, knowing how nice and friendly and fun you are. But then I can also go back to, like, you know, years earlier when I saw you, and I was just like, she's, you know, she's awesome, badass, beautiful, but look like, man, like, I would not want to, like, mess with her. If I saw her on the street, I'd be like, you know, yes, ma'am, and just get out of your way. Like, does that happen a lot? Like, where people, like...
Yeah, it's come to my attention that I look really scary. I think it's the universe's great sense of humor. You know, because I can't see it, and I'm really friendly, but it has come to my attention. I'm quite intimidating. But also, you know, like, that's what people come to see me for, you know, and I
am right.
that. And I think because of my size and my demeanor, it's like I look really feminine, but a lot of my mannerisms are more masculine,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it's also... I kind of get the fantasy, you know, and there's a big difference between sort of playing along that the girl can overpower you and actually being overpowered.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I think that's the interesting and the fun part, because now, like, and I hope people who are interested or haven't done it or are new to it can see that, like, you know, people, like, how it should be is when you know, someone goes to meet you and it's like, you do the intro, hi, how are, it's friendly. And then when you're doing the session, you're in that role, but then afterwards you're back to being who you are, which is a nice person. And it's like,
yeah, well, but it's also, you know, like about checking in with, you know, with your, you know, with the person that's in front of you.
Right.
I kind of like, hi, so, this is what, you know, this is my understanding of how you want the session to go, you know. But what you're really doing is just kind of letting them know that, you know, that you are, the real thing, and making them feel comfortable, especially if they like hard out kind of intimidation shit, you know, because I'm quite good at that. And if you just lay that shit on someone, it is going to genuinely scare the shit out of them. So if you have that nice little chat and give them either safe words or, you know, you're just sussing out what their limits are so that when you're in it, you can kind of be even more fierce because that person knows that they're in safe hands, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So, something we were talking a little bit before we got on air, so there's kind of like the there's the session wrestler part of you, and then there's also like the fetish like dom part of you.
Yeah.
Which when you were first starting, was it easier to get into kind of one persona over the other, or was it kind of the same for both?
That's a fickle question. I think I'm more naturally drawn to the wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's always felt more natural. In essence, I kind of think it's the same thing. It's about surrendering power. They just, one comes with more latex and a few instruments, let's put it like that. I don't know. For me, I think the thing that I love about the wrestling is it's the hands-on domination. You know, that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the separation in my mind. I was a super bad girl when I was young. So let's just say I had experiences in many different forms of sex working.
Okay.
And then I'd given that up, and I'd given all that up for quite a long time. And then I stumbled across the wrestling. And so the domination and the wrestling are quite similar. And, you know, I just got asked for the domination so many times. I thought, I don't know, should give it a go then, eh? And away we went. Yeah. I think as well, you know, like just what I was saying before, you know, like I'm naturally really intimidating, even though I'm not trying to be, it's like my natural resting bitch face kind of thing. And I think that does lend itself, to that level of domination, because it's, you know, it is about feeling intimidated and being a bit frightened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get those happy drugs pumping through your veins, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, I asked that, I mean, A, out of curiosity, but B, also, I think it's interesting that it makes it cool, but it's kind of like surprising to me where I guess I'm into session wrestling more, but I'm also into like dominatrix, and I've met with both over the years. And it's interesting when I talk to other like guys or people who are fans of it, they're very like separate almost.
Yeah, there definitely is a separation, you know. I think that's why I, was going by two names, you know, Kill Pussy for the wrestling and Goddess Thunder for, the more domination. You know, I mean, personally, I don't really see them as separate, but I respect that those communities, although similar, are not the same, you know?
Right.
You know, like each one of those is a little bit niche, you know? There's a crossover, but they don't, you know, they don't look the same. They sort of have different personalities, if you will.
Right. Okay. And see, from the outside, I think like the actions might be different, like what a customer wants, but that persona, like you say, is still like,
the persona is exactly the same, you know. But also, you know, like, because I grew up in New Zealand, I grew up in quite serious situations, so it's really fucking hard to intimidate me.
Okay.
And I think that's really served me well. You know, I guess a nice way of putting it is that, mummy knows how to rough and tumble. And
right.
I think that, you know, you know, as nice as I am, I think there is that underlining where people, you know, people can see in my eyes, you know, that, you know, there is, you know, there is a killer in me. You know, you and I both know I'm too nice to do anything very serious, but, you know, and that's quite funny because often I don't really have to do much. I kind of just have to stare at them and kind of go, grrr. And that's kind of like almost enough, which is really funny. And also, you know, just like people just sort of assume, you know, oh, you know, you're almighty. And it's like, yeah, but don't tell anyone. If you pull my hair, I'll cry, you know?
Right. No, there's, yeah. I'm you know, and people listen and heard me say, I'm a bigger guy. And there's like, you know, some things that are annoying in society about that. But that is a big one, like that people will come up to me and was like, hey, I won't mess with you, buddy. And I you know, sometimes I keep the face. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yep. But deep down, I'm like, I don't know who would, I think you would win if we really did fight. I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't tell that person that, but like, I'm just in my mind, I'm like, I'm not confident I would win. Like I would put my money on you probably, but I just go, right, buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's really funny. I think as well, you know, that the thing is that I really understand that it's fantasy world, you know, and I know how to do those fantasies, you know, and I'm really interested in helping people have their fantasies, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I like about what I do, you know, is that if you come to me and you tell me what you want and if you know what you want and you're brave enough to tell me, then yeah, I can deliver. You know, and I appreciate that level of honesty, and I respect it, you know. Yeah, and it's also, you know, your time with me is really important, you know, and it's my job to make that time with me, you know, as special as it can be, you know.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. So in these 2 years, have you found anything different when it comes to the sessions? Like, have you offered stuff or that you didn't do before, or like, are people requesting, like, is your more popular request different than before or still the same?
Interesting enough, in all honesty, there's much more requests for sexual services.
Oh, okay.
Which I find quite interesting because that, well, over here, that's sort of like a new thing, really. Because when I first was wrestling, it came up every now and again, but it was, you know, it was rare, you know,
mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of, now it's not rare at all, which is interesting. And also, you know, each to their own, you know, no judgment. But it just seems to be, well, before it seemed like the clientele for the wrestling was a little bit more of a niche fetish.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's sort of, because it's sort of become a little bit more mainstream, I guess. You know, like, I think, you know, it's sort of, dissolving into other fetishes and, you know, like, different types of sort of, you know, sessions or, you know, time with a lady, let's call that. They're sort of meshing together a little bit, which is interesting. which is interesting. I guess, you know, like it just was a bit more niche when I was when I first started doing it.
I think it's interesting because it's a conversation I had with, you know, someone we mentioned earlier, Katarina, about a month ago. About, like, because she is starting to show, like, some of the, like, how wrestling can be incorporated into a lot of other fetishes, too. So, like,
yeah.
You know, like, Vivi pioneered it, but, like, bondage wrestling or, like, wrestling and face-sitting, you know, orgasm wrestling, like, you know, sex fights, like, all different types of things. Like, it can be brought in there that I feel like people, you kind of saw a little bit of it, or people talking about it, but now it's kind of, people are seeing, like, you can incorporate this into so much more, and they don't have to be so separated.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, like, you know, wrestling's incorporated in a lot of different forms of domination. It's just kind of not recognized.
Right.
So, all forms of breath control, you know, well, that's called a head scissor, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, yeah.
So there's lots of different ways that they kind of, you know, it's like they're sisters, not twins, if that makes sense.
That does. That I like that. That's yeah. I might. I'll give you credit. I might steal that one. But I like that. No, that's true. Do you think some of it is because of the lockdown? Like you said, you've gotten more sexual requests. Is that because of, like, we were joking around earlier about not touching another person for a while? Is that a
COVID? I do actually. Yeah, I do think that. You know, because I think because of the lockdown, people have become very lonely. You know, starving for human interaction, but also physical, just touch. You got to remember, a lot of people, maybe don't, you know, live by themselves, or, you know, basically they got no one to hang out with, or, you know, to give them a little cuddle every now and again. And, you know, when you've been starved of that,
yeah.
And I think that's what the pandemic did as well. You know, like it made us all sort of lose our human interaction with each other.
I totally agree.
Yeah, you know, so people, you know, people are, just really incredibly receptive as well. You know, like all the sessions I've been doing since we've been able to, you know, I can see it in the person's eyes, you know, just how much they've been missing it, you know, and how long you can, it's almost like you can see how much the skin has been starved, you know, and
absolutely.
And it's heartbreaking, you know, because no one should go without something like that for that long. It's not good for your well-being, you know?
Right. No, I totally agree. And I'm glad we are opening things up. I mean, I want everyone to be safe for sure, but you start seeing how much I've told people, like, that 2020, and I still do, like, you know, I buy clips, you know, clips for sale or whatever. I'm like, but man, I didn't realize how much I missed it until I saw the bill for how much I was buying clips for people. I was like, oh, wow, I really miss it.
You should set a cap. like the gambling sites do.
right. Oh, my goodness. So now so people listening, I'm sorry, but one of my faves is like lift and carry, and you were someone who won a great lift and carry. Like, is that still a big part of like request or a part of your sessions? Or
people come from all over the world to see me for that. And I think the reason I'm really good at it is just for the basic fact that I was born in New Zealand, and when we're growing up, we all play rugby and we all muck around and we all, you know, it's all rough and tumble basically. But, you know, I've always lifted people up and flung them around.
oh, that's from like rugby playing, or
yeah, well, just from growing up where you know, you're in a sport environment. You know, but, you know, just I've always done shoulder rides and, you know, just from a really young kid. And I've always really enjoyed it. But it's like I can't bench press the same weight that I can lift and carry. I can lift and carry a hell of a lot more. Than I can do like in the gym. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm calling it a natural, you know, position.
No, it's that's true. It doesn't, it's weird. It doesn't translate. Like, it's not, it's almost like, I guess for, I mean, it, well, I think it's similar in that depending on how tall you are and how like long limbs you are, like when you're lifting weights, certain lifts are easier or like more conducive to your height.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, so say you come to me and you're, 110 kilos. Okay, so that's quite a heavy weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there's certain lifts I can do and certain lifts I can't do and certain lifts that, by God, I'm going to try.
Right.
You know, but then you have to know how tall they are. You know, because if they're 110 kilos and they're over 5'7", that's not too much of an issue. But if they're 5'5",
right?
You know, it's like trying to lift a barrel.
It's yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because I like to lift and carry as well, and I'll see somebody who I've told her this, I don't mind saying, like Jen Thomas is like 5'1", 135, but she's like solid, like solid muscle. So I remember like I pick her up, but I'm like, man, like it just, it's like, she's just solid. So it's just, it was like, it's always surprising. I see her, when I see her, I'm like, oh, she's smaller. But then every time I do it, I underestimate, and I'm like, oh, like she just feels more solid or heavier than, I've picked up people who are much taller and maybe their weight is higher, but like it doesn't feel, it feels easier.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I think there's a density around weight. That's one of the things I've noticed. You know, like the same weight on two different people is two different things, you know?
Right.
It's like on paper, it's the same weight, but it's, you know, individually, it's a completely different kettle of fish, you know? I think as well, the one thing one of the things I think makes me really good with lift and carry is I really understand about weight distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like if I'm picking someone a lot heavier up, you know, I just basically kind of get the weight balance right. And once I've got the weight balance right, it's actually really easy to get it up.
Right.
Here's the pun. you know, but you know, you do have to be careful as well, you know. You know, I mean, you know, it's like when, you know, when someone asks me to do a lift and carry session with them, if they're a really high weight, you know, they always want a guarantee that I can do whatever lift is their favorite, you know. And I'm really always honest about it, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm confident that I can do it, but I'm not going to give you a 100% guarantee because I can't tell until I'm with you.
Right.
You know? And I'm not, as you know, I'm a straight talker kind of girl, and, you know, I don't want to have you there under false pretenses, let's say that.
No, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite lift?
I do like shoulder rides.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Just because they look like the Tour de Force, but they're actually one of the easiest lifts to do, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it looks epic, and it's actually one of the easier ones, especially if someone's really, really heavy. Yeah, and but it also makes me, I really enjoy it as well, because when the person's on my shoulders, it's all that, like, you can feel them really nervous, and so you tell them to lock their feet behind your back, and then they become sturdy. And there's just such a correlation with, it's like a joyous childhood sort of sweetness about it, you know?
Right, right.
Mm.
Absolutely. Now, what other types of session, like, what would you say, like, so outside of lift and carry, or some other types of session requests that you get a lot of?
I get a lot of, like, mainly wrestling domination sort of stuff. You know, like no one wants to see me looking virginal. Let's put it like that. You know, it's all black. You know, yeah, like bad mummy action, which I seem to be quite good at. But that's the thing. I'm quite dedicated to delivering the fantasy. You know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are there some s types of sessions, or it could be, I guess, even maybe sessions or filming, like content filming, that maybe you either haven't done or you want to do more of if you have done it? Like, is there a type that like, oh, I want to try this more?
I really like the really, really, really bizarre, crazy shit I do. I'm not sure if it's fetish or if it's spoof.
Oh no, but you got to give the stories now. I'm curious. Like some examples.
So I did this clip. Basically, I'm the witch that lives next door,
Okay.
and I do all these magic tricks on my poor unsuspecting neighbor, including putting her head in the oven, slamming the oven door on her head, putting her ass on my barbecue, pretending, yeah, just. It's mayhem,
Right.
pandemonium. Yeah, it was actually a clip request,
Okay.
and it was just like when I first read the script, I was like, "Holy shit! I might have to report this to the police." Kind of thing. I was like, "Hey, is this snuff? Hang on a minute, I'm confused." And then, thank God, the guy sent another email quite quickly after, going, "Oh no, I," and he explained his personal taste more to me. And the thing is that he really likes, like the really, really over the top, cheesy camp, is a row of tents with tinsel on it at Christmas camp sort of stuff. So once I got that, but
Right.
his scripts are always really funny because you'd be reading it and you'd be like, "Okay, hang on a minute. Okay, can you put blowtorch on the prop list? Okay, good, good, right?" And although those clips didn't sell well, I just like they make me laugh my ass off, and all of my friends that have played them too, it does exactly the same thing, you know. So when I kind of enjoy it when because I do get quite a lot of requests to do kind of quite weird and wacky things, and people just know that I'm up for it,
Right.
and I really enjoy the creative side of that sort of stuff as well, just because I know I can do it, and I sort of have a that sort of that genre where I can send myself up quite beautifully, it's like I can take the piss out of myself for the general good.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, it's fun. I feel like I've been having conversations with people like this industry, and especially I guess you get to like the session wrestling, but even the Dom, it's been around for a while, but I feel like more people are getting into it, and there's also like you're seeing there's just so much creativity, and like it, I'll be honest, I was guilty of it where I'm like, yeah, this I love it, and it's like, yeah, these are like the limits to it. This is what we can do, and you pick between lift and carry, dominant wrestling, semi-competitive, or whatever. But it's like there's just so many more things that you can explore that people keep coming up with different things or ideas. It's like really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we also, you got to remember that, fetishes evolve. Nothing stays still. There's always going to be new ideas coming in and new ideas going out.
Right.
Yeah, so and that's the beautiful thing about it though, it's like anything that can help people get to their oasis of heaven. then it should be encouraged, really.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's what kind of through this podcast getting to like really, I mean, sessions, I get to like see people and then you get to see what they have online. But I love hearing people talk about the creative process and, exploring more because it's those are some of the ways that, we can help people not burn out is like people get excited about, oh, a different idea, creative idea, a new way to collaborate. It's really cool to hear and see.
Yeah, well, absolutely, It's interesting what you say about burnout, though, as well, self-love is the true love, I think it's this, as much as all the cliches are cliche, it's like just do you, stick with you,
Absolutely.
do you, and try and do your best.
Right. And it, I know people struggle, and I don't come at anybody because it's hard. It's a, we were talking about it before we were recording. It's hard. Maybe sometimes something might sell more, but you really don't want to do that, or you kind of want to try something different. But it's like, this sells. And like, so I totally get like, it's not like just an easy thing, like saying, oh, don't do that. Do what you want to do. But it is better in the long run. I do feel like you're happier at least,
Well, that's a really interesting question, but also, the rent doesn't pay itself, so I think as well though, like any with your content, like what you have to offer is your uniqueness, and if you're selling to the audience, then you are diluting your uniqueness, and I think that that's a short game, as opposed to sticking to your guns, as they say. I think that's a long game, but I think it's your audience, although will be slower to find you, they'll also be much much slower to leave. It's, I think it's sort of it grows itself organically.
I think you're right. I think it's just do people, and I'm included in this myself, so I'm not attracting like I'm not coming from the pulpit like, but it's just like do you have that patience with yourself and with the process to stick with it, to keep going, like learn as you keep, you learn and you grow and you fine tune, you learn from the mistakes, but stick, like you say, stick with your guns because that in the end is what people will want to stay and stick around. And when they find other people, they'll make, word of mouth tell them, hey, watch this person's content or listen to this person. Because people, I do think that they're smart people who the consumer is smarter than what people think.
Yeah, they really are, and I feel like we're just being fed cold porridge on a silver plate. just each to their own as well, you know what I mean? Like do what you gotta do. At the end of the day, we're all trying to forge and carve out some sort of life here, just do what you need to do, really. If that's the way you want to go and you're making money and you've got a roof over your head and you're supporting yourself, then well done. There's nothing wrong with that either. It's just I don't know, it's like I just feel like it's you've got to have the tiny moments of joy you can squeeze out of life,
Absolutely.
they are few and far between, as we've all had a very hard lesson in, and I think it's you gotta, if something, if you get enjoyment out of something, you should definitely do it.
No, absolutely.
Like life is short. I think that's something we all, you say that saying, life is short. I think we all have a new idea of that now.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I guess the last question for me is I've always seen you with the blonde hair, but now it's been cool, like, seeing you with the red hair.
Yeah, I'm a redhead.
Yeah, what led to that cool change?
I just wanted a change. And I got sick of bleaching my hair, because my hair's actually black naturally. Well, it was. I'm not sure what color it is naturally now. I reckon it's probably gray. But I just got really fed up with it. And also, it's laborious, you know, because you have to fucking sit in front of a mirror for 3 hours. Oh my God, it's so boring. So I just wanted to make something a bit more user friendly, but also, you know, it's fucking hair. It grows.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've had the same hairstyle for, you know, years, you know. And I just kind of thought, oh well, change is good.
Yeah.
You know. And weirdly enough, I think I actually prefer it to the blonde, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out great. It's always a bit of a big step, and especially if you're a woman, you know, like, not being funny, but like, that's kind of a bold thing to do, you know, because there's so much stigma in terms of your beauty grade, you know, related to, you know, long hair and all of that crap. So yeah, but I just, yeah, I think I pulled it off nicely. I was like, oh great.
I do too, and I think it looks great, and it's awesome, and I think that's why, because you're right. Like, and I just speak, like, I don't know what it feels like, but like, just women in general have that battle. But then you're someone who's in like the public eye, and people have seen you with the blonde hair. So I think it's like, it's awesome, and it's cool that you were just like, I want to change, and you like how it looks.
Well, I think style and fashion wise, you can't have the same fucking hair color for more than 3 years. Technically, surely, you know, you should be experimenting, you know, like utilizing your body as a tool for creativity, you know.
I think you're right, but I feel like also people like over time, like I was going to say just in the public eye, but even the private, like, you know, it's like people I know, like for me, right, I can speak as a guy. My parents were like, no, facial hair. You know, who's going to give you a job if you have facial hair? And it's like, I don't care. I want a beard. But, you know, people stay like, oh, to like, you know, like, kind of like what we were talking about, to appease the masses, you do what's safe instead of doing what's different and change. You know, I think you're right. Like, it's good to experiment and see. But, like, people a lot of times, like, oh, you don't do that. Like, you stick with what works, and looking this way has worked, so you stick with that, and you just go, like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Also, you know, like, there's a great fear of standing out, you know.
Right.
Having a very strong personality, I sort of run into a few little issues around this, you know. You know, strength of character is something that does kind of freak people out. And, you know, sometimes it is just easier to play ball. You know, it's sort of like a pick your battle situation.
Mm. Well, let me ask you, because I've forgotten that you're from New Zealand. So how long have you been in England for?
Well, that's a funny question. They call me the Kiwi Cockney. I've been saying I've been in England for 20 years. The only problem is I'm not sure how long I've been saying that. there's a potential that it's 30 years, but I'm trying to actively block that thought out of my head so I don't feel old.
Well, I just wonder, because I, knowing like what I don't know it personally, but like knowing a little bit about the New Zealand culture, and like you just talking about like sticking out, like, well, how much of a culture shock was that coming from New Zealand to the UK?
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I went via Thailand when I first came to England, and I remember walking into Bangkok, and I was fucking stunned. I was, because in my mind I was thinking, oh my God, how many people are there, right?
Right.
You know, like I had a real, a almost childlike sense of innocent wonder, which was nice. It's how it should be. But then when I got to England, I was just like, in a way, I felt insignificant for quite a while, you know, like one of the ants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I also kind of didn't really know how to navigate in large amounts of people.
Right.
You know, so it was just like, I was just sort of walking into, banging into people because I'd never been around that amount, you know. Basically, I'm a country bumpkin, you know, so, you know, I know how to sort of walk around cows and shit, you know.
Right. Well,
but I got used to it.
I ask it because now I've read and seen on TV, but I've never been to any of those three spots, but I can go from like, you know, this past March, I visited a friend I'm in Philadelphia in the Northeast, and I visited someone in New Orleans. And even though Philly's a city, New Orleans is a smaller city, but New Orleans, when I was down there, it was very much like, you know, you can be different and no one really blinks an eye at you.
Mm.
And it's just different even. You know, I did a session outside in the park in New Orleans, which I'm like, I don't know, there's a spot. You know, like it was a public park. I don't know. There's a spot where I could do that at home, like, and feel like you're not going to get a bunch of people coming up to you and bothering you. So,
that's fucking banging, mate. Well done, son.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. So I'm wondering.
It was.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, well, Jill. Well, Jill.
But I'm wondering, like, with those cultures, New Zealand or Thailand, were they more of like, hey, if you're different, if you stick out, like no one really cares compared to the other? Or what was it like?
I think within every, this is one thing I've kind of found. I think within every country, you know, like it's like, it doesn't take you long to kind of find your safe zone. You know, there's always that one area of a town, and it doesn't matter what country, that it's, you know, it's a bit more liberal and you can, you know, just be yourself. And then, you know, there's other areas that you just, you know, it's not so safe to do that kind of thing.
Right.
I think if you're going to travel, you just need to do a bit of research.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't bloody walk into one of the, you know, one of the zones.
Well, yeah, I guess because from knowing you and talking with you, you're very, you know, seem very comfortable in your own skin, and like you like to be different, which I think is always cool. I love people who they don't want to just go with the norm. And so
I think it's a bit how I say it, how I reckon it within my own self is that I've surrendered to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's quite an interesting sort of analogy, you know, surrender to yourself, meaning give in to you, give in to being you, you know. The thing is, you don't really have an option. So if you try and hide it, you know, you're just, you know, you're some sort of fucking robot that's never going to meet your true potential, you know.
Right. I agree. No, I agree. I like how you said that, you know, submit to yourself, like,
yeah, you know, allow yourself to shine through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cause it doesn't work. And a lot of times, even if we tell ourselves, oh, I'm just going to do it for a little bit. If you're trying, you know, to be someone you're not, like if I try to, even like this, to host a podcast the way I hear, oh, this professional guy. You could take tips and tools. I like that. But I have to be me in the end, or I have to be, this is who I am, or it's not going to work on a lot of levels.
Yeah, totally. But also, like, you know, you shouldn't measure yourself against anyone.
Right.
You know, as well, you know, like, because it is a bit of a trap, you know. Now, I do it as well, you know. I'm producing fetish content and wrestling content, and then I'll look at, you know, another producer, and then, you know, to me, their stuff looks amazing and my stuff looks shit, you know?
Yeah.
Right? And it's not, you know, because you're, you know, you've got that sort of internal kind of competition and it shouldn't really be like that. It's also, it's kind of like a, you know, it's a way to doubt yourself kind of thing, as opposed to looking at it and thinking, oh, that's amazing. And, oh, there's a good tip and there's a good way of doing things. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, yeah.
You're like, you're using it against yourself as opposed to, you know, accepting that, you know, you've got your own thing, you know?
Right. Right. And for me, which I battle and I do and can be is equally as dangerous, is some people look at others and go, well, why do they have it? Or why are they so good? Where I go, like, kind of like what you said, like, you know, like, what's wrong with me? And like, you start downplaying yourself and beating yourself down. And that's just as bad. Like,
yeah. And I think, you know, like, we're all guilty of this, you know, mm-hmm. And it's hard to see, you know, like, it's hard not to feel jealous, you know, when, if you're really, really struggling, you know, and in your mind, they've had all the breaks and you've, you know, been, you know, like, we all have these moments, you know, it's just like, it's, you know, it's really important to celebrate each other, you know, you know, not try and shut people down. You know what I mean?
No. And
yeah,
I also think, like, if whatever you're doing, in everyone's definition of success is different, you know, but like, if you hit, like, when it's supposed to come, it's supposed to come, I feel, because a lot of times it's like, man, maybe if it would have, you know, like, for me, like, I'm single and I'm not like a parent, and I don't know if I ever want to be a parent. Like, I'm not anti, I'm not pro. I think I'll see if that opportunity comes, how I feel. But it's like, I don't look at, like, I have plenty of friends who are married and have kids, and I'm like, that's their journey, because A, I talk to them and I see that they're grateful, but how hard, it's not just all easy rose. Like, it's tough. You got to put in the work. And then B, I'm like, man, if I was married when I was like in my 20s or trying to be a father in my 20s, it would have been a disaster. Like, yeah, I wasn't ready for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is an argument to say that the most ethical thing you can do in terms of trying to help the planet is not have children, you know?
Yeah. I've heard that. And it's, and I think it's great for those who have kids and they're blessings. Like, I'm an uncle. I love that role, you know, like, it's fun, but, I don't knock how I feel about it, because a lot of times there, you know, in my line of work, I deal with it every day, where it's like, some people should not have had kids at that time, you know, like, yeah, they should have thought about it more or harder, or
just thought about it.
Or yes.
Maybe used a condom.
Yes. Yes. All the above. Absolutely. 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 So it's like, it's worth thinking about, you know, because these are, you know, life changing in a lot of ways, when, you know, in serious relationships or being a parent. So I'm glad, yeah. Like, I sit there and I think I see, yeah, it looks great on, you know, social media when people post pictures and stuff, and that's awesome. But then behind the scenes, how much work and how hard it is to do it, it needs to be thought about seriously. So all that to say, you're right. It's important to stay in your lane and run your race, because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's just important.
Yeah. Well, you just got to stick to your own path, you know, and we all have our own path.
Right. Right. Mm. No.
Yeah, it's been lovely talking to you.
It's been amazing. And I want everyone to know, so Miss Killpussy's coming to New York. So November 12th, you are filming with
Vivi and a whole lot of other superstars, and all that information you can find on any of Vivi Lane's social media accounts, Twitter or Instagram. And then on the 16th, I'm filming with the Domcat, hurrah! And we're also offering doubles together. So yeah, come get some.
And then the 14th to 16th, you're doing sessions.
Yeah, that's right. One-on-one sessions. Yeah.
Okay. So they can email you or reach out to you.
Yeah, just email me and let me know what your desires are.
Yeah,
Let's
you
put it
should.
that way. The more information you can give me, the better. And I'll take it from there.
Perfect, perfect. So she's making her great return to the US. This is awesome. The great Miss Kill Pussy is coming back, and hopefully there's more trips, more great stuff coming. So I'm just excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for everybody. This is great.
Yeah, I'm excited too, and I can't wait to be in the Apple so I can take a big bite.
Yes. New York's ready for you. I know
All
it. New York's ready for you.
right. Thank you so much
Well,
for having me on the show, darling. Yeah.
oh yes, no, thank you. Thank you for coming on, and for the amazing Miss Kill Pussy. I'm D-Rock. Thank you guys for listening to After Hour Sessions.
See you real soon, everyone. Bye.
Yes. Bye.